Could we pray together for a moment? Lord, how we need to see You in Your glory and Your honor. And how we need to understand in our spirits that You have tasted death for us. That, Lord, in our future there is no death. Lord, as we come to You this morning, as we open Your Word, we pray for the pouring out of Your Holy Spirit on the Word. We pray that our own understanding would fall aside and that the wisdom of God would be replaced there. Lord, we thank You for another opportunity to look at Your Word together. Amen. Two things real quick. Since I heard about there was going to be a baptism next week, anyone that doesn't know the Lord or doesn't know Him and His glory and His honor, I think that the heavenlies have given us instruction on being baptized to turn away from this earth, to turn away from this world. And because it is a spiritual reality, it is a necessity in the life of a Christian. Especially, not any more importantly, but especially in young people, with all the things they face. This world is huge compared to this body of Christ. So I encourage you to examine your hearts, that we examine our hearts and know the will of God in this issue of baptism. It's vital for this next generation to go on with the Lord, that the devil knows he has no hand on us. I wanted to share that. And then one other thing before we start. There was a lot of reference to the light of Christ in the worship time today, in the opening and in some of the worship. And I've got a story about the light of Christ. When I was 16, I was in Boy Scouts and we took a 2-week trip to Maine to canoe and backpack in the Black Woods, in the Black Forest. And up there, that's been a long time ago now, but there was nothing there. You would get in a canoe or a boat and you could stay out there for 2 months and never see another person. The water was so clean then that you just dipped right out where you were, dipped right into the water and drank it. It was clear as a bell. I was thinking about the sea that we sang about. It's going to be so bright. That water was so clear that, you know, even the sun going through the water reflected off the shiny rocks. Well, when we got there, our little group here in Richmond had determined that we were true outdoorsmen and knew everything there was to know. And we also bought every gadget and piece of equipment that we could possibly ever need. We were prepared to go there and never return. And the first thing they did when they got us there was they told each of us, get all your stuff and throw your poncho out on the ground. And then take all your stuff and lay out on that poncho so we can see everything. These guys that were leading, that were going to be our guides through the woods, would come up to each person, and they did it so you were embarrassed, so you felt, you know. And they would come up and they'd say, anything that stays on the poncho, you take with you in the woods for these 2 weeks. Everything else, you're going to pack back up and put it on the bus because you're not going to need it. And they threw everything we took with us in off these ponchos. Everything. No change of clothes, you don't need it. You're going to be dirty, you're going to stay dirty. Don't worry about it. All this stuff that we thought we had to have just wasn't necessary. They did let us keep cameras because they wanted us to have a record of our trip, I guess for insurance purposes. And then only the stuff we needed. Well, you've got a cook kit that's got 17 pots and pans, and it all folds up into a thing like this. And the guy says, you need the spoon and that one little bowl. That's all you need for your cook gear. Well, but throw it away. Well, they got down to where you had your important stuff, the stuff that was important. And then they went to everybody and took our flashlights. And we had nice flashlights. You know, batteries. I mean, the thing would blind you at 200 yards. And we got to have that. What if something happens? Well, they said, you don't need it because we're going to be in the woods where it is so dark that you'll be able to see just fine. And it's black fly season. If you turn a light out there, you will be suffocated with black flies. Up there in black fly season, the black flies are so thick they kill cattle. Cut off their airways. You don't want these flies anywhere near you. It's real important. Well, so they took away our flashlights. Sure enough, we got out in the trail, and we were literally already in the middle of nowhere, and we went farther into the middle of nowhere, and it would be so pitch black dark. When it first got dark, you couldn't see your hand. But as your eyes became accustomed to the darkness, you could see everything. It was just like daylight because your eyes got accustomed. And well, what I'm getting to is, we don't need our own light for Jesus to shine out of us. We don't need our own added stuff. We don't need to add to the mix of what Jesus in us will shine through for the world to see. We didn't need extra light because there was plenty of light. We don't need to add to the light that Jesus has in us because there's plenty of light. So anyway, that was the story about being in Maine with no flashlights, and it worked out fine. This morning I would like to, if we can, to look at the word of our Lord and look at this word in Jeremiah 10. And the name of the message is the cucumber field. I don't know if I'll explain why that's the name of the message or not. That's the name of the message, the cucumber field. And in Jeremiah 10, we're going to read the first three verses first. Hear the word of the Lord, which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be terrified by the signs in heaven, although the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the people are delusion. I'm going to stop there in that part of number three. I guess what we're going to talk about today is how would God have us live our lives? And the first verse here makes it pretty clear that we are not to live our lives by the ways of the nations. We are to be set apart from this world as the people of God. And there's a hope and promise that we will be set apart, for the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus has done everything we need to live apart. And now I certainly add my stuff in so I can be sure I can live apart, just like adding the light to the darkness. What Jesus has done is completely and totally sufficient for allowing us to live apart from the nations as the people of God. Leviticus 18:3. I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived. Nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. When the Lord called the people out, He called them away, completely and totally away from the nations and their ways, their statutes, their the way they walked, the way they spent their time, what they did, what they believed in. He said, don't look at that as a picture of how I want you to live. Here's the picture of how I want you to live. Leviticus 18:4, the next verse. You are to keep My statutes. This is God saying this. You are to keep My statutes and to live in accord with them and to walk in them. There's a phrase your mama told me not to ever do that or go there. Mama was right. And God tells us we shouldn't walk where the other nations walk. We shouldn't hold tight to the things of this world. And I do. My fists are always clenched, hanging on, white knuckled. The Lord says we need to turn from that. And where do we turn? To Jesus, to the light of the world. What are we to see in this house of God? Where are we to focus? We're to see Jesus in each other. The reason I say that is because the Word says our Heavenly Father only sees Jesus in us. Jesus has replaced us, has replaced the dead man in us. We need to see Jesus in one another. That's how we'll be built up. Jesus is the rock. Piece of Jesus here, piece of Jesus here. Builds a stone wall. Can't be shaken, can't be knocked down. We have, thank God, that gift. It was given to us. I said the last time I ministered or spoke or whatever I did, thank God we don't have to beg and plead to come into the presence of God. Thank God we don't have to beg and plead to be in the body of Christ. Thank God we don't have to beg and plead to be functioning in the body of Christ. If we keep our eyes on the Lord, focus on Him. Love is a big word. Love one another. That's all you got to do. I know it's way easier to love than to hate. Hate takes a lot of energy. And I wear myself out. Catch yourself clenching your teeth? I do. I have to go, Lord, forgive me. Feels better than like this. The power of our Lord is there for us to be able to throw away that hate. We may even hate the world. We have to love the world. Not love the world, but love the people in the world. They're souls that the Lord wants to save. And thank God the Word says, none will be lost that He desires. Not one. Are we helping or hindering God in that promise He has made? We can help or we can hinder. May we have the grace and understanding and the desire to be the light in this world, to shine brighter than what the world has to offer. Most people are looking for something to make them happy, make them content, make them feel good when they wake up in the morning. I use medication to wake up and feel good in the morning. But, you know, the Lord, the joy of the Lord needs to be in us and functioning in us and coming through us. That's what the world needs to see. This is the joy of the Lord. When we open our mouths, what needs to come out? Praise to the Lord. Encouragement to God's people. We need to have a burning desire to be built up together, to pray for the world, to have concern for the world, but not to embrace the world. It's man, the devil is a deceiver, and that is his job. And in the meeting Friday night, we were looking at a couple of scriptures in Revelation, and it seemed like everywhere the name of Satan or the devil was the word deceive. Devil deceive. Satan deceive. He is the deceiver. Well, right there, laid out in the book, shows us what God said is the devil's tactic. How can we turn and not be deceived? Well, the first thing is, if we turn, we can't turn like this. We've got to turn like this. The Word of God, forgive me, I've got to go to the end where I had to stick something in. When troubles come, where do we turn? The world turns to its own understanding, to its own wisdom. Where are we supposed to turn? Well, we turn up. My tendency is, well, let me see if I can handle it first. Then I'll look up if that doesn't work. Well, God says in Hosea 7:16, the first part, they turn, but not upward to the Most High. Speaking of the nations, they turn to themselves. They don't turn to the Most High. Our instruction is to turn to the Most High first, that God could work that out in me, that He could work it out in us. So much of the time we're turning. I was watching the women's bobsled yesterday. They can't turn very far because there's a cube of ice all around them. So when they turn, they crash. When they turn, how often do we try to turn and we crash? But just like at bobsled, very seldom do they get out of the death tunnel. It knocks them right back in line. God is there. The work of Jesus is there to not knock us back in, but to softly carry us back into line. Back into the line of the will of God. Back into the line of what will build us up together. Not what can do harm. We're going to stay in line. And thank God that's a finished work of Jesus. I think I said, do we turn to our own understanding? God wants us to turn to Him. Turn to His Word. Turn to brothers and sisters. Last time I shared, I said, if you got somebody that needs to be prayed for, call me, I'll pray for them. Somebody did, and I've been praying. It blessed me. Hosea 7:16, the second part. Because of the insolence of their tongue, this will be their derision in the land of Egypt. Insolence. Insulting. Contempt. Contempt. I'm sorry. Contempt. Our hearts can do so much harm. We have a tongue that enables us to speak, but it's our hearts that do the damage. Our tongue is just a tool. Our tongue can be used to worship, praise, thank God, to get on our knees and pray, to get on our knees and pray for forgiveness, to get on our knees and pray for one another. Our tongue can be used for horrible things. But the Lord Jesus in us is there to protect what is so precious. Protect what He has given us. Derision. This will be their derision in the land of Egypt. These words. My wife had to go get the dictionary. Derision. Object of ridicule and scorn. Made a laughingstock. When the world uses their tongue, what happens? They become the object of ridicule, a laughingstock. We certainly don't want that to be what we are to the body of Christ. That's what will happen if we use our tongues improperly. Thank God, Jesus has covered it. Let's look at Psalm 12, verses 1 through 4. I have a parenthesis here, read it. So, Psalms is right after Job. We learned that last time. Jerry told me. Psalm 12, 1 through 4. That's the Psalm of David, and it starts out, "Help, Lord." He may have been singing, "Help, Lord." But I, it may, "Help, Lord." For the godly man ceases to be. For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood to one another with flattering lips. With a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off the flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things. Who have said, "With our tongue we will prevail." Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Small L. With our tongues we will prevail. Who is Lord over us? That's the world turning its back on our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus. May we be sure we don't turn our back on our Lord. May we be sure we don't decide in our own understanding that we can prevail. We must build up the house of God. Thank God that's easy. Because it's the desire of our Heavenly Father's heart that His Son's house be built up. That's easy. My heart needs to be changed so I'm willing, and that is my desire, to build up the house of God. Hosea 8. One through four. I'll put another parenthesis. Read it. Let me read the whole. One through four. Put a trumpet to your lips. Like an eagle, the enemy comes against the house of the Lord. Because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. They cry out to me, "My God, we of Israel know Thee." Israel has rejected the good. The enemy will pursue them. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have appointed princes that I do not know. With silver and gold they have made idols for themselves, that they may be cut off. These are the people of the God's chosen people. Sound a trumpet. When you hear that trumpet, used to be that's what they used to listen. Now we get this on the TV and we look up. What is that about? When I was in high school, I shared this Friday night, but it was a real small group, so most of you haven't heard it. When I was in high school, I had a car that we worked on all day Saturday and Sunday, so it would run to get me through the week, so we could work on it again the next Saturday and Sunday, so I could get through the week. And we held it together with anything that we could find. My father helped me. My father did it. I just stood over him. And one day, my best friend and I, and my dad were. My father's a very small man. This was a big Ford. And he's small enough and compact enough that he could step over into the engine compartment and stand right there between the motor and the grill. And he'd just be able to work on the car. And me, I'm laid all over. You get the neck, you get the hurting. I'm up under there with the gravel. Pop, we're going to be able to get it ready by Monday morning? Shut up, boy, I'm working. Yes, sir, Daddy. Well, we were all over in this thing, greased up to here. My friend and I weren't doing anything, but we were covered with grease. Down at Three Chops, about 10 houses from home, Three Chop runs by here, by there. Some car or truck went by with a horn, and they'd hit the horn, and that was a trumpet sound. I mean, loud, and, you know, everybody kind of looks up, and you hit your head, and Pop just kept on working. Didn't look up, didn't face him. And he says, "Boy, run in the house and see if your mama's gone. The trumpet of God. Did he take her? Am I still in the car working on this stupid car? Mama's gone." I went and looked. It made me so happy that my father had an awareness. He didn't seem to be troubled if he wasn't gone. But he was sure concerned if Mama was gone. We have got to be ready for that trumpet to sound. That it not be a foreign sound to us. That it not be a sound that we panic. I hope I can jump out of my clothes and get going. May the devil not tell us that there's anything to fear in the Lord returning to take His people. Like we said, the book says none will be forgotten. Where are our priorities? What do we hope for? What do we wish for? What do we dream for? When we lay down to sleep at night, what is our joy? I have trouble sleeping, so I need, you know, I had a friend who lived next door says, "Herb, I'm always having these terrible nightmares." I said, "You are." Like I was going to help him. I like mysteries, so sometimes I'll read mysteries at night. Sometimes I'll read the Word. Thank God, I kind of pretty much start praying. And as I pray, I'll either go to sleep or keep praying until something happens. Well, my friend said, "I'm not sleeping tonight. I'm having these horrible dreams when I do sleep. I'm being chased. They want to kill me." I said, "Who's they?" "Well, everybody." I said, "Well, what are you doing right before you go to sleep?" "Well," he said, "well, I get something to eat and then I go to bed and I read." I said, "What are you reading?" He said, "Stephen King." No wonder you're not sleeping. I'd be under the bed. Are you kidding me? Lord, have mercy on us. Don't let the people of God wrap ourselves up in things of this world to distract us from what God wants to do and what He's doing. We need to be joyful. God is doing great things. Great things. He's restoring His people. He's encouraging them. He's building us up. Let us not be deceived by the deceiver. Let us not be deceived by the trumpet. It's really not the trumpet that we're worried about. Boy, go inside and see if your mama's gone. Do we set up idols? The people of God in the book They set up idols. I couldn't believe it. Jerry said last week, Abraham's father was an idol maker. And I had been looking at this for about 5 years, reading over Jeremiah 10 here. And he was an idol maker. My goodness. That we would not be idol makers. That our hands wouldn't be busy making idols. That we'd be busy about the work of God. I'm sorry. Back to page 2. Jeremiah 10:3, the end, the first part. So I think I read this already. I apologize. For the customs of the people are delusion or vanity. That we not be deceived or delusion. I don't know what the word for delusionized. That we not be deceived, that we not have delusion. That we not, our thoughts not be vanity. So many of my thoughts are well heard, doing good, doing fine. It's vanity, Herb. I heard it. Thank you, Jesus. I heard it. Thank you, Jesus. That we would respond when Jesus speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? There you go. Right there in the Word of God. God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. It's nothing for us to grab onto. Verse 21, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. He was right here. On this earth. And through the world's wisdom, it did not come to know God. Is the testimony of our life, of Jesus in us, going to be greater than the wisdom of the world now in this day, where we work in our homes, in our schools? Is the world going to look away from its wisdom and unto Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Lamb of God? When Jesus was here, the book says that the world didn't. That we could live a life that is honorable in the sight of God. That's a big thing. But we can, because the book says it's finished. It can be done. And the world will see the glory of Jesus. Jeremiah 10:3, the second part. Do we set up our own idols? Because it is wood cut from the forest, the work of the hands of a craftsman, Abraham's father, with a cutting tool. Have you got the picture? We need an idol. We've got to go to the woods. Cut down this tree, haul it back here, start cutting on it with cutting tools. Well, the minute they cut that tree off at the bottom, that tree is dead. There's no life in it. It has no value. Unless you're going to burn it to keep warm or build a boat so you can get away from wherever you are or go down river. But wrapping it up with gold and silver, standing it back up, nailing it so it stands up straight, that tree is of no value. That idol is useless. That idol. And here's the cucumber field. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field are they. The book says the idols are just like a scarecrow in a cucumber field. Are they? My father has a little garden in the backyard, probably about from here to here, like this. You go out there, man, there's a scarecrow all the time. There are aluminum pans hanging off everything you look at. There are pieces of hose that he's cut up to look like snakes. He's not nuts. He wants to keep the birds out of his vegetables. And the birds don't have enough sense to know that that scarecrow cannot harm them. That we would not be dumb as birds and be afraid of the false idols. Be afraid of missing what the world has to offer us. Does that make sense? Don't be afraid of what we're going to miss, but work on what we're going to have. Keep our eye on the prize. Sometimes you're, what is the prize? Well, you know, God knows what the prize is. We keep our eyes on Christ. Keep our eyes on Christ. Keep our hearts turned to Christ. Have a desire to be changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. For we were predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ in Proverbs. We were predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Is God able to do that work now? While we're here in this earth? I pray to God He's doing it in me. Because it says we will be conformed to the image of Christ. And the sad thing is that everything that's not that image will be destroyed in the end. Not just the world stuff, not just the buildings, the houses, these temples, beautiful buildings, but anything in us that is not the character of Christ will be eliminated. Thank God. It'll be gone. The book says, as far as from the east is from the west, I will not know your sin. It'll be gone. We can stand in that hope today that if we repent and ask forgiveness, the Lord will honor that and throw it away. Throw it away. When we used to backpack, we're in bear country, you've got to take your food scraps and your food and containers and things, you've got to hang them in trees. And I mean not up the trunk of the tree, throw it up on a nail there. You've got to rig a way to get that pouch out here on the limb, hanging down from the limb, but 15 feet off the ground at the same time. So a bear can't climb a tree, go out and grab it from this way, and he can't reach it from this way. If we take our scraps when we finish our meal, well, we'll just throw it as far as we can. We're safe. And that bear is going to come there, and he's going to smell where it came from in the sky and end up at your tent. God throws that stuff so far that it's gone, man. It's like the world's flat and it goes off the edge and it's gone. Thank God. Man. Thank God. Man, if I had to worry about rigging traps to put my sins to hang them out where God wouldn't be able to get to them, we'd spend all our time wasting rope. We'd be tied up trying to get our sins away from God. Put it on a boat and let it flow down the sea. God will know where it came from by the ripples in the water. That we can ask our Redeemer to redeem the time that we have lost. In the house of His chosen people. This is what God wants to do. His chosen people. We are God's chosen people. Hallelujah. Do we live in that light? Man, I don't know. Man, I look around and, man, well, I love you, Jesus. And I do. I love the Lord. But gracious, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard. And you just want to rest. Or you want to, well, rest, thank God. Find the peace by the still waters and rest in the Lord. But sometimes we want to get a, well, if I wasn't a Christian, it wouldn't be so difficult. It might not be difficult for the next 5 minutes. But when that trumpet sounds, it'll be really difficult then. But we have a hope. Thank God. We're released from that. We can shake that aside. We can throw it off the scales. Get them off of us. Thank God for that. Oh, I was saying, don't fear the idols. For they can do no harm, for they have no power. There's no power in what the world has to offer. There's no power in the kings that the world set up. The power is in our God. In our Heavenly Father. In the one true God. In the living God. I think that's a really good word. In the living God. The enemy sure can deceive us though. All these things we hold dear. And I've got a bigger trailer behind my car hauling the things that I hold dear. All that stuff that they threw it on that poncho that I held so dear. Need this? You don't need this. What if God came down and said, here's what I'm going to show you what you need. Wait a second, Lord. I thought I needed that. I really thought I needed that. What I needed was to be released from that. May God open my eyes, open our eyes, open our eyes together of what we need. I don't even like that word. N-E-E-D. What do we need? We need Jesus. We need the Word of God to be alive in us. Jeremiah 10:6. Good news. It's all good news, thank God. But we've been kind of gotten beat up here a little bit in Jeremiah 10. 10:6. There is none like Thee, O Lord. Thou art great, and great is Thy name in might. Who would not fear Thee, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is Thy due. It is. It's a fact. That we would fear the King of the nations, for it is His due. The Lord's due is that we worship Him, that we honor Him, that we desire to be conformed to His image. For among you, all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like Thee. There you go. In the world, there is none like Thee. And everything they devise, everything they build, everything they conquer. How much conquering goes on in the name of the world and not in the name of the Lord? And this world has been continuously conquering other nations. We are of a nation that cannot be conquered. We cannot be defeated because Jesus paid the price and took care of it. It's simple, but it's also really big. Rejoice, sing hallelujah to the Lord. That's as far as I got in Jeremiah 10 this time. And thank God it ends with, God is all. He is everything. All of the turmoil and troubles that the world has to throw at us, there's an answer to it. There's a rebuttal from the Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus in the book to sustain us through those things. That we may know the Word, read the Word, sing songs that come from the Word. That really helps me. I'm not real good at memorizing Scripture. But if you put it through a song, I can get it. And in God's grace, if I can remember, that song comes from the Word here. I've got the Word of God in my heart. That's where I can turn when trouble comes and I don't have my book. That we could turn to our Lord. That we could turn and look up and not look around and see if we can figure out how to take care of the trouble. God will take care of our needs. God will take care of our troubles. And God even gives us joy. We need to be joyful. We need to be joyful. We need to rejoice. We need to worship the Lord. He is worthy. It is His due. The Word says, it is thy due. May the Lord have mercy on us that we would remember what is due our Lord Jesus. Praise, worship, honor, glory. Thank y'all for allowing me to share some things that have been on my heart. Lord, without You, we have nothing. But with You, we have everything. Lord, teach us to cling to and hold and love the things of Your kingdom. And let us step away from the things of this world. Build us up together, Lord. You've promised it will be done. We thank You, Jesus, for obeying Your Father. We thank You, Jesus, that You're the light. And we thank You, Jesus, that You're in us. Amen.